Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heald teaches us from the Word of God.
Well, glory to God. Good thing we're here today, amen. We've been having prayer here every day at 7 o'clock in the morning and just had a great turnout. I mean, just a lot of people coming. And it's been so good. And I encourage you, if you have a prayer request, you have something going on in your life you'd like us to pray about, you can send it to us through the Facebook message, or if you're fasting Facebook, I know a lot of people are, you can just write it down at the Connection Center, give it to us. You can text it to me or Scott or any of us. We want to pray for you, amen? Because prayer changes things. You know, I'm a product of a praying family. You know, I was with God and then got way away from God and just was living a crazy life and not going anywhere I should have been. And I'm so thankful that I had a praying brother that just wouldn't let up, but just continued to pray for me that I would fulfill the plan of God for my life. And so I know that I'm a product of prayer, and I know that prayer works. And so I just encourage you, if you need prayer in your life, let us pray with you. You got to pray too, but we'll pray with you. Amen. Well, I got a tough message today. I'm going to call this Big Boy Pants Message. So if you don't have your big boy pants on, you're probably going to not like this. But let's just all put our big boy pants on and say, all right, Lord, I'm ready to change. You know, it's 2016, the beginning of the year. Everybody always has resolutions. We have, even if you don't write them down, on the inside, you're like, oh, you know, I want to be better at this, or I want this to happen, or I want my marriage to be better, or I want to be a better parent, or I want to be better with my money, or I want to live healthier, or whatever your thing is. Everybody's got a thing. Everybody has one. And so the thing is, what we've been talking about in our series we're doing for 2016, January, is soul therapy. Now, I said last week, you've been wanting to tell somebody they need a therapy for a long time, right? And so look at your neighbor and say, you need this. You need this. We all need it. We all need soul therapy. And our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And how many know those three things can get us in a lot of trouble? They can get us in a lot of trouble. And so we want these changes for 2016, and so we try to change things on the outside. We try to, you know, get a makeover. You know, whatever you put on the outside, if you don't change what's on the inside, it's still the same. Right? If I have a can of Coke and I put a water label on it, how many know it's not water? It's still Coke. You still can't have it if you're fasting that. No matter what the label says, you still can't have that. And if you don't know, we're doing our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And, you know, praise God, week one is almost done. We're a third of the way through. You can do it. You can do it. And we're going to make it. I know several people are fasting soda, and so I just pray for you. And but whatever you put on the label, it doesn't change what's on the inside. And so we can try to change things on the outside, but if we don't change the inside, we're never going to have lasting change. And that's why so many of us, and I'm talking to myself too, so many of us have the same resolutions every year. Anybody ever had the same one every year? Yeah, probably a lot of us. Or, you know, we start out strong. We're doing so good. You know, January, we're doing good. February, we're still doing good. March, we had a couple of weekdays there. You know, April, we're like, what resolution? Right? I don't recall that. I don't recall any of that. I don't recall any of that. I don't want to talk about it. But then January comes, like, oh, man, I need some change. I need some change. We got to change the inside before anything on the outside is going to last. And that's why we're calling this soul therapy, because we want to change stuff on the outside. Amen. So turn over your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to look at verse number 22. Let me fix this real quick. I'm getting the signal that I'm tapping. Let's try this side. Here we go. Now, I didn't tell you what. I was thinking about doing our drawing now so everybody be in a really good mood for my message. You know, everybody say this with me. Say, I love Pastor Peggy so much. And I will love her after this message. In Jesus' name. You said in Jesus' name, so you have to, right? Today's message is on, you ready? Anger.
Come on.
Now don't get angry about it. No, you need to be here for that. So we're going to talk today about anger because, you know, Psychology Today, they called our age, they called us the age of rage. The age of rage. How, you cannot turn the news on without something on the news as a result of uncontrolled anger. Rage. Do you know that they say that today, just today, and I don't say this to bring you down, I say this to say, hey, this is an epidemic in our nation, in our country, in us. Today, over 10 million children will be physically abused because of uncontrolled anger. That's terrible. Today, they say that, I forget the number, I don't want to give the wrong number, but it was more than 10 million, women will be abused by angry husbands. And so you may sit here and say, well, I've never done any of those things, I don't need this message. That's where it's gone just too far. But all of us deal with anger in some way or another. Yeah. Where we're angry at a family member, we're angry at somebody at work, we're angry at the government, we're angry at people, the way they drive. How many can say amen to that, right? Amen. You know, where road rage is becoming more and more of a thing. And how many of us have ever had where, because of the way somebody drives, we've allowed that to just ruin our whole day? Probably most of us in here at least once or twice. Or because of the way a family member acts, or the way that a coworker acts, or the way that our spouse acts, or the way that our kids act, or the way that our neighbor or whatever, we're so angry that it's just ruining our day, ruining our life. It's just causing problems with us. And so we've got to learn there are things in life that are going to make us angry. That's just the facts. Even Jesus got angry. How many remember when he was flipping the tables? Yeah. He was tossing everybody out. And so whenever I think about anger, I always think there's always a time where it's okay. There is times where it's okay to flip a table. Because Jesus did it. Amen? Jesus did it. But the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And when anger becomes sin is when it's uncontrolled and it begins to affect other relationships in our life and causes quarrels and dissension and things like that. That's when anger is out of control and it's not healthy for us. And so we got to learn, what does the Bible say about that? And so this is, like I said, this is a big boy message. We got to put our big boy pants on and say, you know what, this is going to be tough to hear because I want to blame everything on everybody. But here's the thing, you can never blame your way to happiness. You can't blame your way to happiness. You can't be like, It's how I was raised. Okay, you're raised now. All right? You're a big person now. It's time to forget about that and say, okay, let's take responsibility and live my own life. Amen? I'm raised. And if you're born again, now you've been raised up with Christ. So let's say your parents messed up. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. No such thing. And so some of the ways that all of us were raised, you know, caused the eyebrow to be raised up like, I don't know if that was a good idea, right? You know, we can look back on our childhood and see those things. But now we got to say, okay, that's the past. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do now? Am I going to let God do a work in my life so I can move forward? Or am I going to stay trapped in this rage? That's our decision. And so when we look at the Word, and you can follow along on your Bible app, If you want to do that, my whole message is on there because I really want you to get this. You just go to the Bible app, click live event, and then click BBC. But in Proverbs 29:22, it says, an angry man, let me read it up here. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. And so we can see here that anger is the root of other things because it says, an angry person stirs up conflict. How many of you know somebody, don't do this, because that's going to make them angry. Don't do that. But how many of us know somebody that they just, in our family, we call it, you got your spoon out, you know? You just got a spoon and you're just constantly stirring up trouble. You're just constantly stirring up conflict. I mean, that's just how somebody has learned to live. And so you say, man, what is wrong with that person? Has anybody ever said that to yourself? We don't say it out loud, but we're like, man, what is wrong with you? Just relax and enjoy. Why do you got to ruin stuff? Why? It says an angry person. They got anger that they need to deal with. So it says an angry person stirs up conflict. And then it says a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Now, maybe this isn't you in here today, but I bet all of us know somebody who is hot-tempered. They're hot-tempered, and man, once that fuse blows, you better watch out. Because, I mean, how many times, you know, you see on the news and you see somebody that's a good person. They're not a bad person. They're a good person. They have a family. They got people that love them. They love people. And then all of a sudden, they're driving on the road. We see this all the time anymore. They're driving on the road. Somebody gets them so angry. They become hot-tempered. And the next thing you know, they're doing something that they never dreamed they would ever do. And their life is changed forever. That happens. Hot temper leads to many sins. How many times because of a hot temper, and this is the truth, and nowadays, and I think my husband would agree, it'd probably be hard for you to imagine, but I used to really have a pretty hot temper. Isn't that the truth? I mean, just watch out. You know, I remember one time, I'll never forget this, and Scott was calling me, and this is when you had real phones in your house, you know. You didn't have a cell phone. That's how old we are. You know, you had a cell phone. We had this phone in the office, and he was calling me, and it was just annoying me that he was calling me because I was busy. I had things to do, and so he's calling, and he was being real sweet. He was calling to say, hey, how's your day? But I had anger issues. I had stuff that I was angry about. It wasn't the phone call I was angry about. I was just angry about other stuff. And by the time I got the phone, I looked at that receiver, and I was like, oh. And I just pounded that phone until it was just in like 100 pieces. And then I left it there for him to see it when he got home. And Mr. Wonderful, he comes home, he goes, what'd the phone do? Which that just made me more angry. I'm like, it wasn't the phone, you know? But I really had to get a grip because it was me. An angry person, we stir up trouble. And when we're hot-tempered, it can take us places where phones are not safe. Amen? Nothing is safe. And if you let it go too far, people are not safe. You may never have smacked somebody or something, but how many of us have ever really hurt somebody because we're angry with our words? Which those words, those word wounds, they take longer to heal than physical wounds many times. And so anger is an issue. Proverbs 14:17 says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. A quick-tempered man does foolish things. And then James chapter 1, verse number 20, it says, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. See, that anger, it's not going to bring the life you desire. And when we see that word righteous, a lot of times we think like, oh, that means I have to be perfect. You know, I can never be that. Well, no, you can't be perfect. I can't be perfect. And that's not what it means. Righteous just means right. How many want a right life? You want your life to work right. You want your marriage to work right. You want your parenting to work right. You want to raise kids that are stable and healthy and full of love and joy and peace, right? How many just want our lives to be right? And the Bible says, listen, anger is not going to lead you there. Anger is not going to take you where you want to go. And so we got to really deal with where it comes from and how to deal with it. And that's what we're going to do. But before I do that, let me give you three ways that we try to deal with anger. And this is the thing, and this is in your notes here. A lot of times when this is where bullying comes in and abuse comes in, we get angry. We just say, you're going to do it my way, and I'm going to intimidate you until you do. I'm going to make your life miserable until you do it my way. How many know that's not healthy? That's not healthy. And we say, well, how, you know, that's just how I've always done it. It's time to change. Yeah. Because your family might be giving in, but it doesn't mean that they're happy. And the way that you're handling it isn't going to lead to that righteous life that God wants for you. It's not going to lead to the life that you want for you. Amen? So we say, I want it my way. Or, you know, that's kind of like the bull in the, you know, like, got to do it my way. And then there's some, you know, some of us who were more the turtle in the situation. We're like, just do it your way. I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to have a problem. Just do it your way. So we just give in. But that doesn't resolve anything. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've been in ministry for over 20 years now. I can't tell you how many times a marriage has dissolved and everybody's like, oh my goodness, what happened? They seem so happy. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Somebody just kept saying, okay, 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 okay. And then one day their head exploded and they said, I'm done. Because they never dealt with anything that made them angry. They didn't insist on their way. They just kept letting somebody have their way. And then the person they kept letting, they're like, I thought you were happy. No, when you get bullied to give somebody their way all the time, that doesn't lead to happiness. So none of these are the right way to deal with things that make us angry. You can't demand your way. You can't always give in to the other person's way. And then also a lot of times we'll say, well, I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you halfway. Even meeting halfway, you still have to deal with the issues, because if I compromise with you, that does mean that I'm more mature, that I'm trying to be in a healthy relationship, but I still have to deal with the issue. I still have to share with you and explain with you why that you know, you're here and I'm here. So even then, it can't just be like, okay, I'll meet you halfway and we'll be done with it. No, we got to deal with stuff. Whatever you don't deal with, you know what happens to it? It grows. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Until one day something is just swept under the rug, now you're tripping over it. Now it's a giant mountain in your life and you're just like, oh, don't even look there. Don't deal with that. You know, we don't talk about that. We don't talk. One of these days you're going to talk about it. One day you're going to have to. And so when it comes to anger, we can't be like, it's always going to get it my way. And we all can't say, okay, your way, your way. God didn't design you to be a doormat. Amen? And we also, if we're going to compromise, let's make sure we compromise in a healthy way where we still discuss the situation. Amen? But let's look at about what's going on here. Where does anger come from? And so turn over to James chapter 5, chapter 4, James chapter 4. Who do I still got? Should we do the drawing? Are you guys still here? Here we go. James chapter 4, verse number 1. Now this is written by guess who? You guys are Jesus. It's written by James. But here's the thing. This isn't James the disciple. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus. And the reason he's a half-brother is because how many know who's Jesus' father? Jesus' father is God. Hello? Somebody needs to get saved up here. Jesus' father is God, right? And so, but we know that Mary and Joseph, they did get married, and then Jesus had brothers and sisters. And so this is James, and this is Jesus' brother. And so he was raised with Jesus. Can you imagine? I mean, let's just take a side journey for a second. Can you imagine? How many have brothers and sisters in here? I have 6 brothers and sisters. Can you imagine if one of your brothers and sisters who you were raised with, you shared a room with, you did chores with, Jesus never got in trouble, but, you know, all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, one of your brothers and sisters came to you and said, listen, I got something to tell you. They're like 30 years old, and they said, I got something to tell you. I'm God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Listen, I know we've lived in the same house our whole life. But you've heard those stories. You heard those stories, right, about the star and the wise men and everything. It's all true. I'm God. Can you imagine? And so Jesus, this is his brother. And so the Bible says that it's the most difficult people to minister to are your family. And so Jesus was able to get his brother. And the book of James has some of the most, a big boy messages there are. You know, James is serious about some stuff. Yeah. And so James writes here in James chapter 4, verse number 1, he says this, what causes fights and quarrels among you? What causes fights and quarrels among you? Now, how many of us want to say, like, just come to my house. It's my spouse. It's my kids. It's my job. It's my boss. It's the government. It's this. It's this. We want to say it's all those things that cause the fights and the quarrels among us, right? But James says this. He says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Hold the phone. This is something we do not want to hear. Because we want to say, now remember, there are times to be angry. It's when anger causes fights and quarrels. You should be angry when somebody is being mistreated, when a child is being abused, when we see things on the news and anger rises up in us. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that anger that causes fights and quarrels. We're talking about that anger that leads to hot-temperedness. We're talking about that anger that leads to sin. And so James says, he says, listen, what causes that? What causes that? We want to say, well, they cause it. And James says, no, they don't cause it. It's because of what's in you that causes it. And man, that's hard to hear. That's tough to hear. But how many of us want a different year? If you want a different year, you've got to hear things that are hard to hear. Yeah. Amen. I've been saying this while I'm doing our fast because it's tough. I'm not watching TV. And how many know I really like TV? You know, I like it. You know, my shows are on. And I'm not watching any TV for 21 days. You know, I don't know what's happening on Fixer Upper. Don't tell me. I mean, I haven't seen a house remodeled in a week. So I'm starting to jitter a little bit, you know? And but I keep telling myself, if it doesn't challenge me, it doesn't change me. And I want to be changed. I want to be different. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better daughter. I want to be a better aunt. I want to be better. And so I need things that challenge me. And so when I read this scripture, I can't just skip over and go, that's not for me. You know, I got to read this. I got to hear it. Because when I hear it, that's when it's going to change me. And so he says here, he says, listen, what's causing these fights and quarrels among you? And he says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? And he says, here, this is what's happening. You want something, but don't get it. You want something, but don't get it. And we say, you know, we think, this is, let's take it home. Let's say, okay, how does that apply to me? When we're like being part of road rage, when we are just letting a driver just rah, you know, just drive us over the edge, what's happening? I want that person to drive better. I want that person's license revoked. Amen. Amen. I want that person off the road. But you're not going to get it because you don't have the authority to do that. And so what happens? It causes you to get angry. What does the Hulk say? You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Right? And so we've got to recognize, or even with family. Now I'm talking about my family. You know, I got six brothers and sisters, and man, they get on my nerves sometimes. Why? Not because I want them to act a certain way. I want them to handle things the way I want them to handle it. And when they don't, it aggravates me. Don't look at me like that doesn't happen to you. You're looking at me like, really? I had no idea. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you a story, and I was praying about the message this morning, and I remember a story. You know, every relationship has moments that define you. They have moments that change you, where you hear something that's like, wow, I didn't know that, and it changes you, it helps you, or it could hurt you and hinder you. And I'll never forget a moment in Scott and I's marriage that helped us. Our first year of marriage was just hell. I mean, that's just the truth. He didn't like me, I didn't like him. You know? I mean, it's just the truth. And it's just like, you're just like, what? What has happened here? But yet we loved each other. It was like, we got to work this out. But I'll never forget this. And it was a turning point. Like something in my head just went click, and I got it. I got it. And I changed. But I come from a strong family. And my dad, to me, is practically perfect. I mean, he's just the best. And so through that first year, you know, when things would come up, like if something needed to be fixed or if we needed to make a decision, I would be like, well, you know, my dad, he would do it like this, you know? And at first, Scott was like, you know? And then as I continued to do that, like, well, we need to ask my dad, you know? And then I'll never forget this day. One time, Scott turned around. He never raises his voice. He's so kind. He turned around, he looked at me, and he, like, got the finger out. You know, when the finger comes out, you are in trouble, right? You know? He got the finger out, and he said, I am not your dad. I will never be your dad. I am your husband, and you need to get that. I was like, whoa. Whoa. But you know what? Something on, because he was speaking truth to me. Because listen, ladies, your husband's not your dad. He has a different role in your life. And you gotta get, you've been under your dad so long, you want everything done your dad's way if you come from a healthy family. And then you there's a time you gotta make that switch where, okay, now my husband's ahead over me. And some of you ladies, that just, like the hair on the back of your head just stood up. It's gonna be all right. It's a good thing. It works. It works if you work it right. And so I had to make that change because what happened? I kept getting angry at him. I kept wanting, I was causing quarrels and fights between us because I would be like, well, that's not how my dad does it. And we need to do it the way my dad does it because the way my dad does it, the way it's supposed to be, blah, blah, blah. And Scott would be like, we're not doing that way. And I'd be like, you need to do it that way. And what happened? Fights and quarrels. What causes fights and quarrels among you? I was saying it was his fault because he wouldn't do it my dad's way. If anybody would have asked me, I'd be like, that's Scott, man. He's driving me because he won't do it the way I want him to do it. What causes fights and quarrels among you? You want what you're not going to get. You're not going to get that. We want things that we're not going to get. It causes fights. We want people to do things our way. And when they don't do things our way, we get angry and we start fighting. We've got to grow up and realize that everybody is not under your control. And so often what we want to do when those fights and quarrels come, when that anger comes, what are we doing? We're crying out to the Lord. We're saying, Lord, change them. Change them. And really what you're saying is, unless the whole world changes and does things my way, I'll never be happy and I'll never not have an anger problem. Isn't that what you're saying? And that's not how it works. Let's go on what James says here. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. And then he says, you will kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. And then he says, you quarrel and fight. You quarrel and fight because you cannot have what you don't, you can't get what you want. Now you're saying, well, I never killed anybody. No, but how many of us have coveted something? We've been like, we've rehearsed in our head. I mean, I don't say things out loud. If I said things out loud, I'd really be in a lot of trouble. But how many of us have rehearsed in our head all the great comebacks we could say to somebody when they make us angry? I mean, we've just got, oh, if you could only read my mind. If you could read my mind, right? That's not good. What's that? We're not leading to that righteous life that God has for us. We got to get a grip. We got to get a grip on anger, because if you don't get a grip on anger, anger is going to have a grip on you. Yeah. And then we're going to see you on the news one night. We're going to be like, man, what happened? Anger just took off. Because if whatever place you give anger, it takes and it grows. It grows. And we don't want to be that person that says, man, that's an angry person. They're an angry person. God's got better for you. And then listen to this. This is so good. What does James say? He tells us what to do. When you don't have what you want, he's telling us, listen, quarreling and fighting isn't the way. He says this, you do not have, what's the next thing say? Because you do not ask God. Isn't that good? And so when we're not getting what we want, when we've got those battles on the inside and we're fighting and quarreling with everybody and we got, listen, if you have an issue with everybody, you have an issue. There's one thing in common that every fight I've ever gotten into has. Me. Me. Every argument, every dissension, every quarrel, they all have one thing in common. And God says, listen, that's not going to take you where you want to go. Now, that doesn't mean, listen, we're talking about fights and quarrels. If you can't discuss things without fighting, then you need to come back for a communication sermon. Amen? Because there's a way to do it. But God says, listen, don't let what's going on inside of you cause fights and quarrels. He's saying, listen, come to me. If we'll go to God on some stuff, if we'll take it to Him, He'll take care of it. He'll help us through stuff, and we won't have to have that anger that's going to ruin the rest of our day. Right? Isn't that what we want? And so, you know, really what James is saying here, he's saying, listen, it's not about them. It's about me. Now, that doesn't mean stuff isn't going to make us angry. How many are married in here? Something's going to make you angry, right? How many have kids? Something's going to make you angry. How many have a job? Somebody's going to make you angry. It doesn't mean something's not going to make us angry. It's say, let's get a hold of it before it turns into a fight and a quarrel, before it turns me into a hot-tempered person, before it turns me into that angry person that's always stirring up conflict. Let me get a hold of it before it gets a hold of me. Because how many know there's aggravating people in this world? But we can't let aggravating people stir up anger in us that rob the joy that God has for us. Because there's always going to be somebody that's going to push your button. Always. And I have said this for years. The enemy, if something pushes your button and it just gets you every time, you know what I mean by that, right? And, you know, the enemy is going to make sure that somebody is there just going, burp, 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 just trying to push you over the edge. We got to get a grip. And so let's learn how to do that. The Bible teaches me how to deal with anger when it comes. And so let's look at Matthew 16. We're going to look at how to overcome anger before we close up here. And you know, you say, well, I don't really have a problem with anger. That's awesome. This way you won't ever have one. Because as the world goes, how many know the world's getting more aggravating? Yeah? The world's getting more intense. The pressure of the world is getting greater. And so we've got to learn, listen, don't let it turn into fights and quarrels. Let's go to God. He says, you don't have it. You don't have what you need because you didn't ask. God has what you need. And he's not withholding it from you for any reason. He wants to give it to you. And so Matthew 16, 21, let's look there. Now this is, let me give you a little backstory. This is when Jesus has been with the disciples. He's about ready to go to the cross. And all this time, he's been talking to the disciples about that he's going to reign. He's going to be the King of Kings, right? And so, but they still think that he is talking about an earthly ruling. They still think that they're going to overthrow the government, like, naturally. And so they talk about that because that's what they think. That's where their mind is. And so we've all heard this, but let's look at it in this context. He says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, we all know this story. This is Jesus going to the cross for us, and he's dying on the cross, and he's raised on the third day. It's the whole salvation story, the Easter story. But he's telling the disciples this, and they're just getting it. And so Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And he said, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter. So many people know the scripture, but they don't know what it means. He turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. That's pretty hard, right? I mean, how many never want Jesus to turn around and say, get behind me, Satan? I never want Jesus to call me Satan, first of all. I mean, that'd just be a bad day right there, you know? And so what's happening? This is so beyond what the disciples can understand. So Peter takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him, which is strong language. He's getting on his case. He's saying, no, that's not the way we're going to do it. That's never going to happen. Well, he's angry because he's not getting what he wants. He wants an earthly governmental overtake. That's what he wants. Because that's what he thought was going to happen. He thought that they were going to kick the Romans out, and they were going to be in charge of Jerusalem, and they were going to take over. That's what they thought. And then Jesus is saying, nope, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer at the hands of the elders. I'm going to suffer at the high priest, and I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to die. And Peter's like, what? What? And then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't saying that Peter was Satan, but what his actions, he says, you do not have in mind the things of God. And when someone doesn't have in mind the things of God, they're working according to the things of the world. And who's that? The enemy. That's the enemy. And so Jesus says, you don't have in mind the things of God, but only the things of this world. And he goes, you are a stumbling block to me. He's saying, you're a stumbling block to me. And so that's pretty tough, right? And so then let's see what he says. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For here's the key to living a life with peace and joy and love and not letting anger have its hold on us. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What's the key to not letting people get so on our nerves? What's the key for not getting so riled up at our family members when they don't act the way that we want them to? What's the key for not letting that aggravating person at work just ruin every day we have? What's the key for not being hot-tempered? What's the key for not having those fights and those quarrels that just explode and ruin relationships? What's the key? Jesus said, here's the key. But whoever loses his life will find it. We got to lose that life of worldliness, that life without Jesus, that stumbling block, having the mind of the world and not the mind of God. We got to lose that. And I want to tell you real quick how to do it. Number one, you got to crucify yourself. You know, we've heard that. That doesn't mean we go to the cross. You don't have to go to the cross. Jesus already did it for you. Everything that Jesus did when he walked on this earth falls into two categories. If you'll learn this, you'll be able to read the Bible a little better. Number one, he did it to show me how to do it. Or number two, he did it for me. Everything that Jesus did, you need to ask yourself, is he showing me how to do that or is he doing it for me? When he went to the cross, he did it for me. Because he said, no sacrifice after this will be needed because he was the ultimate sacrifice. And so we're not talking about crucifying ourselves literally, but in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul writes and he says, I die every day. When we get born again, we become a brand new creation in Christ. You became brand new. And your old man is passed away. I'll never forget, Scott did a sermon many years ago, and he had this life-size person that he made. And we scared everybody in the offices with it for days. You know, we'd hide it behind somebody's door, and they'd shut their door, and it'd be like, oh, like this, and they'd have a heart attack. It was just awesome. But he used it in a message, and it was pretty fun, scared everybody. But he used it, and it symbolized the dead person that I used to be. But, you know, it's there, and if we're not careful, those old ways, those old natures, that old me tries to come back. And that's why Paul says, I die every day. Every day we need to make a decision. I choose your way, Jesus, not mine. Every day we need to say, Lord, your way, not my way. You know, there's a pastor and he said this, when we're humble before the Lord, when we say your way, Lord, not my way, when we put our face down before God, it's hard to fall when your face is already on the ground. Isn't that good? Just being humble. Paul says, I die every day. When that old man starts to come back up, when those quarrels, when we want to just really straighten somebody out and say, you need to act different, you need to do this, you need to do that. Listen, if you're not a parent, that's not your place. You can't tell your family members how to live. You can't tell them what to do with their money. Even though it's just so aggravating sometimes, right? We can't do that. You can't make your husband be just like your father. It's not going to work. Your coworker is not going to be just like you. They're not going to do things just like you do them. And if you keep letting it get you angry and ruining your day and stealing your joy, it's just going to escalate and you're going to become that angry person that nobody wants to be. We got to get a hold on it. How do we do that? Paul said, I die every day. Every day I die. Every day I choose, Lord, not my way, your way. Because we got to recognize, we got to hear that hard truth that when I get angry and bent out of shape and I just want to strangle you, it's not about you. It's about me. I want something I can't have. I want you to act a different way, and you're not going to. I want you to drive a different way, and you're not going to. It's in me. That issue is in me. We got to crucify ourselves. We got to crucify our flesh. You know, even though you get born again, the Bible says in Galatians 5:24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with passion, with its passions and desires. There's a part of every one of us, even though we're born again, even though we love Jesus, even though we want to serve him, there's a part of us that doesn't want to do anything right. How many met that part of you?
Yep.
That part of you tried to stay in bed today. That part of you doesn't like to read their Bible. That part of you doesn't want to walk in love. That part of you doesn't want to be a forgiving person. That part of you wants to be angry and stir things up all the time. That part of you is your sinful nature. It's the old part of you. And we got to put that part down and say, no, I'm going to do it God's way. Because God's way is going to take me where I want to go. God's way is going to lead me to that peace. You know, our world is so crazy, isn't it? There's just so much going on. But you know that God says you can have peace in any time. No matter what is happening, God's will for you is to have peace on the inside. You know what that peace is? That understanding and knowledge that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. No matter who leaves me, I'll be okay. No matter what somebody says, I'll be okay. Why? Because I've got Jesus. God wants you to have that. But the enemy is trying everything to steal it from you. So we gotta look at this anger thing. I don't think we have any raging maniacs in here this morning. I don't think any of us are going to, you know, be on the news for road rage. Maybe one or two of us. I don't know. I won't mention any names. But they're here. I don't think any of us are like that. But I know all of us in here have probably had some fights and quarrels with people in our life because we just want them to be different. We want what we're not going to get. And let's just choose God's way and say, Lord, I'm just going to go to you. I'm going to quit getting so bent out of shape about this. I'm going to quit trying to control everybody and everything. And your word says, I have not because I ask not. I'm just going to ask you to help me. And let's believe him to help us. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everybody here that as we've heard this hard truth, Lord, it's hard to hear that the fights and quarrels that we've had in our lives are really not anybody else's fault, but really it's us. That's hard to hear, Lord. And so I just ask you to help us hear that truth. Because, Lord, everybody in here, whether we're all on the same page or not, one thing we all desire is to have a peaceful life. To be able to walk into our homes and feel joy. To be able to lay our heads on the pillow and go to sleep knowing and having a trust and a knowledge that we're going to be okay. Everybody wants that. And so, Lord, we just hear your word today about anger. And we thank you that you are the solution to every problem that we have. And that you're always willing to help. That you love us so much, and you have supplied your word, your power, the Holy Spirit, all to help us have the life that you want for us. And we say thanks for that, Lord. You know, if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, and you say, you know what, I'm here today. And I know about Jesus. I've heard about him. I've even talked about him. But I have never personally invited Jesus into my heart. I've never said, Jesus, I want to give you all of me, all my mess ups, my screw ups, everything. I want to give you all of me in exchange for all of you, for your love, for your forgiveness, for your mercy. For your healing power. For you, Lord. I've never done that. But today, I want to make that exchange. I'm tired of living life on my own. Feeling like I have no help. Feeling overwhelmed. Feeling frustrated. I'm tired of that. I want to live the life that Jesus promises me in his word. A life with no shame. A life with the power to live life on this earth, forgiveness for all my mistakes and all my sins, and an assurance that I'm on my way to heaven to spend eternity with God. So what do I do to get all that? You just say yes to Jesus. That's it. Just say yes. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So today's your day. That knock on the inside of your heart, that tug calling you and pulling you into the family of God, today's your day to say yes. Yes, Lord, I'm coming home. So if that's you and nobody looking around, just out of respect for people, this isn't a time for you to look and see who's raising their hand. That's not your business. If you're here today and you're already born again, you should be praying and asking that anyone here that has a tug on their heart from the Holy Spirit, that they would surrender their life and say yes to Him. But don't hinder them by looking around and making them uncomfortable. That's why I say that. So if you're here today with nobody looking around, you say, that's me. The Holy Ghost is tugging on my heart. I just want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to live my life with Him, not without Him. That's me. Just raise your hand up big and tall, and then you can put it down right away. The only reason you raise your hand is to make an indication to the Lord. Like, Lord, I'm serious about this. I see your hand. Anybody else? Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Peggy, I've been there, done that. I did that. But I've gotten so far away from God. I've been doing my own thing and not talking to Him and not in relationship with Him. But today I want to come home. Today I want to come home. I want to rededicate my life to God. I want to get back into the things of God. I say this every week, and it will always be true. You can go 1,000 steps away from God, but He's always one step back. If you're ready to take a step back home, back into Father's house, back into Father's ways, just raise your hand up and say, that's me. I'm ready to come home to God. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Let's all pray together. And if you're here today and you say, oh, you know, I should have raised my hand, but I'm just too shy. Or that's okay. Just say this prayer. God meets you right where you are. Amen. Just say this prayer right where you're sitting. And we're all going to say it with you to make it easier. Because when you're in the family of God, things do get easier. And so let's all say this together for those who raise their hand. Say, Father God, today I recommit my life to you. I give you all of me for all of you. I thank you that I am forgiven, I am restored, I am empowered to live life here on this earth. And I know that I know you have a place for me in heaven. I'm born again. I'm a child of God right now today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad God always brings you home? Amen? He always brings you home. Listen, if you raise your hand up, I know several people did. Be sure to come down. Anybody here on the front row will be happy to speak with you after service, talk with you, give you some info, and just help you on your walk with God. So that was a tough message. We went a few minutes over. Come back next week. We're going to have a little better one. Amen? A little more fun. I'll tell some more jokes. It'll be better. Amen? But, you know, we got to get a hold of that anger before it gets hold of us, right? And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings.